Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome to our podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money. You realize in the Bible, there are 2,500 verses that speak directly to how God wants us handling money. And we use these biblical principles in our small group Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can preview it by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined today by the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean. And today we want to talk about a crisis budget. A lot of attention is being given to the economy from the supposed experts that talk about a possible recession in the next 12 months. So that led us to think we should talk about preparing for an economic crisis in your family. First, John, I want you to explain, what is a crisis budget, how do I build it, and when do I put it into action?
You know, for most people, unless you make more money than you can count.
Which is not too many people.
No, I don't know anybody that way. The surest way not to have financial difficulties is to have a budget or a spending plan, if you want to call it that. But even if you have a spending plan, a family financial crisis can totally upset the apple cart. You know, at some time in your life, you're probably going to face a family financial crisis, like a job loss or a business reversal, a major illness, the death of a family member, maybe a military deployment of the breadwinner. These can all create family crises. And, you know, they're going to shake your world. It turns everything upside down. And, you know, it might even be a world crisis that affects us and impacts us personally. But when that crisis comes, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to look at it with despair and angst, or are you going to look hard to find the silver lining that God always provides?
You know, when you're talking about crises, it reminds me of some of those crisis stories in the Bible. And one of the first ones that comes to mind is the story of Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him.
That's a crisis.
And then there was Job. You know, in the matter of a few hours, Job lost everything. His children, his family, his financial resources, all his possessions, his house, even his health.
Yeah.
And Moses was caught between the Red Sea and the most powerful army in the world at that time. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and Paul was beaten, stoned, left for dead, and then imprisoned.
Yeah.
So it would have been easy for all of those people to feel abandoned by God, but yet in each case, God used their crisis for good.
You know, when we face a crisis, Evelyn, it's important to remember that God loves us deeply. And in any situation, He is with us each and every step of the way. So when a crisis hits, you got to know that, you know, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. God is with us. John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. It kind of shows us how much that we are loved. Let those words sink in. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. The Father and the Son have existed in the deepest, most intimate love relationship since the beginning of time. And that's the same way Jesus loves us.
You know, and I think it's easy to get caught up in a why me, whining kind of mindset when a crisis occurs and forget that God loves us, because we become so discouraged and so overwhelmed in a crisis. But there's a verse from James that I just love, John. Do you want to read it? It's from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4.
It says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing."
You know, that's a great verse to teach us that God uses all circumstances, even the most difficult ones, for our ultimate good. And when we do encounter those crises, we can use them as opportunities to grow closer to God and learn things that we could just not learn in any other way. And some of these crises are not financially related, but there's usually a financial impact. So, for example, if there's an illness in the family, there may be additional costs for medication or travel or hotel stays to be near the person that's ill. So even if the crisis isn't specifically a financial crisis, such as a job loss, it can have a financial impact.
Right.
So, John, I think you have several ideas about things we can do to survive in a family financial crisis.
Well, the first thing is the most obvious thing for me, maybe not for you, but I would want everybody to take the Compass Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, because it can be really transformational, teaching you that God does own everything and that we have to be good stewards. We own nothing. So many times when there's a crisis, we have decreased income or increased expenses, as you just itemized in your examples. And if your finances are in good shape, and you know how much you're spending, what you have to spend, what you shouldn't be spending, crisis can be a little bit less stressful.
You know, it also helps when you're going through a crisis if you have a support structure around you and you're not trying to handle it on your own. So if you seek advice from godly people who've been there or in a similar circumstance that you are, they can really be a great source of blessing and encouragement to you.
And, you know, a lot of people won't say anything, because they're embarrassed.
The stiff upper lip.
Yeah, their ego, their pride, whatever it is, gets in the way of talking about this problem that they've got. And so they try to hide everything. You know, that's just not good. It's not good for your health. It doesn't help you get out of your financial problem, you know, any faster. And if you are seeking counsel from godly people, you can learn from their experiences. They can tell you about resources that they used and even mistakes that they might have made when they had a crisis that you could avoid.
You know, the other thing in a crisis is I think it's very important just to focus on one day at a time. So many times we try to think about how we want God to solve the problem and the time frame in which we think it should be solved.
Yes.
And that doesn't happen. So it's really easy to get several steps ahead of where you are and worry about what's next or try to take it on and solve it yourself.
You know, Matthew 6:34 says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, Evelyn." I think he put Evelyn in there, but I'm not sure. "Tomorrow will take care of itself."
So the important thing is just to focus on the present and don't worry about the future. One day at a time. Sometimes maybe it's so bad you can only do 1 hour at a time.
Yes. Here's something that's so easy for all of us. I know we can accomplish this. Be patient, waiting on God's perfect timing.
I know that was one thing your dad always told me. Patience is a virtue, Evelyn, and everybody needs a virtue, even you.
Yeah.
I can remember him saying that to me so often.
You know, in a stressful situation when we're praying for help, we expect God to resolve things in our way, in our time, exactly the way we want it to go. And that just sets us up for disappointment or frustration.
You mean God doesn't follow our wishes?
God has his plan.
And it's usually not the same plan we have, right?
And, you know, he tells us that so many different places in the Bible, it's unbelievable. But we should believe it. It's important for us to trust him and believe in his divine providence, without giving him deadlines or directions.
You know, let's circle back to the story of Joseph for a minute. This is from the book of Genesis. So Joseph was the favorite son of a very wealthy family. And I think his father made him a coat that was different colors. And Joseph had dreams and was predicting the future. So his brothers were very jealous. So they sold him into slavery. And then Pharaoh appointed him as head of his household. But Joseph would not make love to the Pharaoh's wife, who was trying to seduce him, so he was thrown into jail. And then he interpreted the prime minister's dream, so he was promoted to prime minister. So throughout all this, it was good, bad, up, down, situations that he never, never could have imagined, especially when there was a famine and his brothers came to Egypt to buy food so that they could survive the famine.
Yeah, how would you like to be in that situation? He recognized his brothers and they didn't recognize him. And it would have been easy for him to get even. And I'm sure there's a lot of us in this world who would have done that. He wanted to get even with them, but he didn't do that. Joseph wasn't angry. And in fact, he recognized God's providence in this situation. So it's easy for us to get angry in a crisis. We can be angry with the people who caused whatever is going on.
Or the people we think caused whatever's going on.
Yeah. A lot of times we don't know. You know, if you get laid off, it's easy to be angry at your boss. It's easy to have a general sense of anger. It's a situation and lash out at those closest to you, whether they had anything to do with it or not. I mean, I've been laid off before, and I was angry with my boss. Turns out, that layoff was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Hard to see in the moment, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. You know, it takes some time sometimes to be able to look back on it. But, you know, anger never solves anything. And the Bible tells us to forgive not seven times, but 70 times seven times. That's from Matthew chapter 18. So one of the things that we can do to prepare for a crisis is to prepare a crisis budget. That makes sense, huh?
Yes, it does. I know we did that.
Yes.
And it certainly helped us. So the first thing we did was to realize that in most situations, the crisis budget was only going to be temporary.
That's a big thing. This is not changing your budget forevermore.
It's reacting to the current situation.
Yeah. You know, it's not going to last forever, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. And you'll be able to make a judgment, and then the crisis will be over, and you can go back to having a normal budget. And, you know, that should just make things a little bit easier, knowing that it's going to be a temporary thing.
So the first thing is to get your mind around a temporary reduction. And then the second thing is to look at your current budget, which assumes you have a budget or a spending plan.
I was going to say, that's a big assumption. And, you know, if you've been listening to us and you don't have a budget already, shame on you, because you've heard it enough from us that you need to have a budget. But think about the things that you're going to be able to do without for a while. If you or your spouse lost your job, you can do without the cable TV. You can do without eating out. You don't need all those subscriptions, whether they be television subscriptions, internet subscriptions, magazines and newspapers, all that stuff. You don't need a gym membership. And the kids can take a vacation from music lessons or sports camps or whatever else the other after-school activities they have. And you probably don't need that expensive cell phone plan if you only have about half of the income that you would normally have in a normal type situation. So cut your expenses by a percentage, maybe 40 or 50%, and eliminate anything that might be considered a want.
And this is going to be tough for some, especially if you struggle distinguishing between a want and a need. It's going to take some planning on your part, but it has to get done, and has to get done today. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the ways to handle money. You can learn more how we can help you by going to compasscatholic.org. Now, John, you and Evelyn went through a number of cuts of the wants that we need to consider in cutting our spending plan. What are some of the areas that we should look at in our budget?
Another thing that I wanted to mention as a way of cutting back your cost And that's not to buy brand items in the grocery store. You know, studies have shown that if you just purchase generic brands at the grocery store, you could cut your budget by 30%.
That's a huge chunk of change.
That's amazing, isn't it? The thing that you need to do is to figure out the most likely crisis that you might experience and cut your budget to meet the circumstances of that crisis.
So, for example, if you were to lose your job, what would you do with that without that income? Or right. If your spouse loses their job, how would the family manage without that income?
Right.
Or if you're a commissioned salesperson and have a bad season, how would you adjust your finances if you didn't make your bonus or your commission for that month?
The key point here is that you have the discussion before the crisis happens to make it easier to be objective about, you know, where you're going to cut things and what you need and what you don't need.
And it's important for both spouses to work on that together if you're married. You have to have an open discussion back and forth about what you can and can't cut. It's not one person making the decisions for the family.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's important to do it beforehand. And we've experienced doing a crisis budget twice in our lives. The first time we did it was back in 1988 when we were in a crisis. We were in the middle of a crisis. And
it was turmoil.
There was huge turmoil. And so we had to create a crisis budget. We had to cut things out. It was an emotional time. A lot of things we cut out and cut out and cut out. We didn't eat out. We didn't have any subscriptions. We didn't have any cable. We didn't have any telephones.
We didn't buy any clothes.
We didn't buy clothes.
Bare bones.
And that was an extremely emotional time frame. But then, about 20 years later, and we were trying to make a decision to retire. Now, the decision was, what happens if we don't have enough money? Isn't that the biggest question when everybody gets ready to retire? How much is enough? How many different TV commercials talk about, well, how much is enough? That's what we were struggling with. And so we created a crisis budget. We cut our normal budget that we'd been living on for about 20 years now, so we knew what we were spending. We cut it by 50%.
And you said the important thing there, John. We knew how much we were spending every month and what we were spending on.
Yes.
And that was the basis for the crisis budget. You have to have a starting point. You can't just all of a sudden cut something by 50% if you don't know what you're cutting.
Right. And you said that was the basis. That wasn't the basis. The basis was you weren't comfortable thinking we could retire. That's why we did it.
Well,
that was our crisis.
It's a scary thought, thinking that what you have saved is going to support you for the rest of your life.
So tell me how you felt about that.
Well, once we did the crisis budget, and I knew that if things tanked and we lost our savings or Social Security went away or we didn't have our pensions, then we knew what we could cut. And it wasn't going to be fun, and it probably wasn't going to be real easy, but we had a plan. And it gave me a great sense of peace knowing that if there was a crisis and if we had to live on bare bones, we knew exactly how we would do it.
We had enough meat on those bones without going into the cat food.
Yeah. Yes, we didn't have to eat cat food. No fun, no entertainment, no vacations, none of the fluff stuff, but we could definitely survive.
Right.
So when you were going through this, how long did it take you to make the adjustment that in your mind, this is how it's going to be temporarily?
Probably a couple of weeks of back and forth and talking and discussing and what if.
So you made adjustments, or did you stick to exactly that budget?
We created we had a budget that we were living on, which was the same budget we were going to use for retirement. So we said, if we only have half of this, the stock market tanks or whatever, are we going to have enough money? I was comfortable with it because I was looking at the budget and I knew. Evelyn wasn't looking at it as much as I was. And so,
well, I'm always gloom and doom. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I knew what was going on.
And my glass is always half full.
Your glass is always overflowing.
But the point is, and I heard you say this earlier, you had a crisis budget before there was a crisis.
But we haven't had to use it yet.
Yeah.
No, so see, the problem was we went through one crisis without a crisis budget, and it was a disaster. So we prepared when we retired to have a crisis budget. So if we needed it, we had it ahead of time.
But it's important to have a crisis budget, yes. Whether there is a crisis on the horizon or not.
Yes.
It's always just in case you have something to...
Well, 99% of the time, the crisis comes out of nowhere.
True.
You know, you're in a car accident, you suddenly get ill, the breadwinner passes away unexpectedly. There's all kinds of things that just hit you upside the head. And then you're not prepared for it.
No, and you mentioned crisis budget, and things start rolling through your head. Geez, what can I do without? Or what can I cut back to bare bones minimum?
Yeah. And it's amazing what you can do without when you really look at it hard and there's no emotion involved.
Yeah, you mentioned about cutting the cable. Going through the hurricanes where we had no cable, it was amazing. Hook up a little antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed at how many channels we were able to pick up. So you can do without cable.
And you did away with electricity too, didn't you? That was a fun time when we had the hurricanes.
Air conditioning, I never knew it was invented.
There you go.
Oh man,
So the important thing is to just do this in advance, understand what's going on, and then create a spreadsheet, put it on paper and pencil, you know, whatever it takes so that you know what your plan is. Have it written down in some way.
You know, I think one of the reasons that people don't do a crisis budget, I think there's two reasons. I think people are eternally optimistic about the future.
Sure, they nothing's just think, ever going to happen to me.
They just think the way things are now are the way things are always going to be. And the second thing is they don't understand how much money they're spending today. So there's no possibility of figuring out how to change that spending plan from today into a potential crisis situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really dangerous because when that happens, then they're going to sustain their lifestyle with credit cards.
Well, and I think the key is you got to get it written down. You can't just think about it. I mean, you can think about it till doomsday, but if you don't actually get it down in black and white on a piece of paper or in a spreadsheet or something so that you know this is what's going to happen.
And it's agreed upon between both spouses.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, the agreed upon about, because once the crisis, if it does happen, you're both in together.
Yes.
There's no thinking, well, you know, I didn't know there really was going to be a crisis, so I only agreed to cut cable, not thinking that, wow, it's like when you make a dentist appointment, you make it 5 months in advance, and it's amazing how that
thing 5 months always disappears.
Yes, I'm like, oh, I thought the end of the world would happen before then.
You know, we did. We created a spreadsheet. That's my when I have to die spreadsheet. When the money runs out with our crisis budget, it would last just as long as if we didn't have a crisis budget. Of course, we would be spending more without the crisis budget. But
because the last thing in the world you want to do when you're facing financial challenges is run up a whole bunch of debt.
Absolutely.
Now, did you ever experiment and go on the crisis budget for a month just to see if there's any fine tuning?
I don't know that we really... did that totally. I mean, we've done some of that because we don't spend things for long periods at a time. When I created my spending plan, I have an escrow account for all those variable expenses. So I put money in every single month that covers the house payment, which I pay once a year. I have to pay the insurance bill once a year for the house. I have to pay property taxes once a year. I have to pay car insurance once a year. We've got a homeowner's fee that's quarterly. So I put all those into an escrow account. What we're going to spend on vacation goes into escrow so I can pull it out when the time comes. And so we go for long periods of time without spending money. I've got it set off to the side. So it's same as if we were doing that. You know, the other important thing is, when do you implement the crisis budget? And that's where a lot of people really make a mistake, because they'll know there's maybe going to be layoffs. There's just an announcement this week, X number of stores were going to close over the course of the year. And you know, if you work at one of those stores, you best be on your crisis budget now,
even though your store may not be the one, just in case.
Exactly.
Or just even if your store is going to close in 9 months, don't wait that nine months until
smart.
You're out of a job.
That's smart.
Start setting aside money now.
Yeah, because if you set it aside and you're living on, say, 50% of your income that you're taking in right now, and you're putting the rest of that in the bank, that's going to give you a good cushion when that axe finally drops and you lose your job. now you've got a cushion to live on while you're looking for another job. And you, actually, you should be looking for another job already, but you know what I'm saying. So it's important. The first sign that you think something's going to happen, then you start to implement your crisis budget, which is why you have to have it already done. You can't implement something that you haven't already created.
Because in that situation, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to save some money if the crisis never hits the fan, right?
Exactly.
And the best thing that's going to happen is that you're going to survive the crisis with minimal financial damage because you've managed to save up a little bit to help defray some of those unexpected expenses.
A crisis can be a blessing in disguise. It can help us grow closer to God. It can forge a stronger marriage. We can meet new friends through circumstances and discussions and that kind of thing. And we can even find a new path in life.
You know, there's a quote I heard somewhere, and I'm not sure where it came from, that says, be thankful for the bad things in life. They open your eyes to the good things that you weren't paying attention to. So even though a crisis may not be something we wanted or anticipated, it can often be a blessing in disguise through unexpected circumstances.
Well, and I think having a crisis budget, knowing what you're going to do, is going to create a sense of peace, a sense of comfort, maybe even a little bit of contentment, that you know that when this crisis happens, and sooner or later it probably will, you know what you're going to be able to do. It reminds me of a verse from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. The crisis that you are going to be facing or you might face is the opportunity to become more Christ-like. Know that God is always with us, even when it's hard to recognize it."
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Wow, we had a lot of information today, but do not fear. We've got you covered. You can go to compasscatholic.org and do one of two things, or you can do both. You can scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and look for the podcast today called "What is a Crisis Budget? And when do I implement it?" Evelyn has also written a blog by the same title. You'll find it. And she has included everything that we talked about in that blog. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and look for this one. What is a crisis budget? And when do we implement it? Thanks for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.